We are here with Jens Johansson of Stradivarius, and Jens, it's great to have you on the show yet again, and you have a new live album out, and obviously Stradivarius working on a new record, and talk about what you currently have going on with the band, and give all the listeners some insight of what's currently going on in the Stradivarius camp.
Okay, well, like you said, this live album we put out, I guess it's out in the States a couple of weeks ago or something. I'm not exactly sure, was it end of August or whatever, but there was that and a DVD that we recorded, basically, I wouldn't say to commemorate, but I think it was in connection with the longtime drummer leaving the band, this Jörg Michael, decided to stop playing this kind of stuff, and stop playing with this band, and we recorded one show. In 2011, it wasn't the last show we actually played with the band, because that show was in Guatemala, but we recorded one of the shows in Finland. It turned out quite nicely. It's a good city anyway.
Now, I really dig the last two records, and I really also like the live album. I think the live album turned out really, really good for you guys. And, you know, when Timo Tolki had first exited the band, and he ended up getting Matthias, did you think that the band would still be doing as well as it was? Was it a surprise to you, or was it something that you figure you'd still be doing well?
No. I had no idea what the hell was going to happen. I would say it was, and it still is, I would say, very much an experiment, but it's so far an experiment that at least has made a couple of good albums, so then I'm not complaining, really. But this band, before Matthias joined the band, we had, as you perhaps know, we had a guy called Timo Tolki, who used to play guitar and write most of the songs, and he left in 2008, and then, of course, we didn't really quite know what to do, but, you know, we decided to keep playing. And then we decided to keep playing under the name of Stradivarius as well. And, you know, here we still are. But, you know, it's been... I consider it a bit like an experiment in well, it's a musical, social experiment, in a way. Because we are doing it differently now than when Timo T was in the band. It's much more of a collective effort. We are basically deciding everything as a group. You know, we actually did, when Tolki was in the band, we did that as well. But we sort of delegated a lot of the decisions to him because it had worked in the past. But at that point, of course, it didn't work anymore. So nowadays it's, you know, more of a group. Everybody gets involved in everything, and it's super annoying sometimes. But so far, so good. You know, now we have a third album coming. We'll see how that's, if people like it or not. You never know. But anyway, you know, we secured the release. We have the record deal. We have the money to make it already. Like, so we're gonna make it, and then we're gonna see what happens.
Well, you know, one of the things I noticed, and the last couple of records have had some pretty favorable reviews. I've seen a lot of people really, really digging the last couple of albums. And then when you watch the DVD and you listen to the live album, the vibe in the band is very, very good. And did this happen right away when you ended up getting Matthias in the band, or did it take a while for this to kind of form itself?
No. I think that decision was... It was like we made a decision, and then we make the... You know, so we try to make the facts work with the decision, you know, in a way. But I think he had not done so much live work before, so for him it was a bit of a learning curve, you know, and I'm sure there was, like, a lot of other things that he was, like, you know, completely confused by as well. But, you know, for me it was... I could immediately tell that he was a very musical guy, and I think that's very important, and he was also a very nice guy, and, you know, I think... That's what you need, basically, in a fellow musician. But I have to say, I mean, the mood in the band was not always terrible before that either. It was, sometimes we had some great times as well, but it was just that we got somehow painted into a corner by some decisions sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes that we we also, I mean, we all went into some things with open eyes, and you know, by mistake. In retrospect, we realized maybe some things were mistakes, but I don't think that the mood was terrible. Maybe in 2007 it was terrible, but before that we all had some very good times in the band.
Yeah, and you played with Dio on the Lock Up the Wolves album back in 1990. So, and you know, you obviously played with Dio for a stretch of about a year, year and a half, maybe. And give us some memories about being in the band with Dio. Talk about what it was like for you, and maybe give us some thoughts about working with Dio and his band.
Well, that was a very nice situation. It was all too short. It was only like a year and a half or something like that. Or maybe even less. Maybe it was 1 year and... How long was it? Maybe a year and a couple of months, let's say. So we made one album and one world tour. But for me it was like, you know, of course I'm a big Dio fan since I was a kid. So of course it was like I was completely starstruck going into it in a way. But I'm sure they could have exploited me terribly and just said like, well, you have to do this for like $10 a day or something, $10 a year, like, or pay money to be in the band even. I mean, I'm sure I would have taken a bank loan to be in the band. But it was really nice, a really nice experience, like business-wise and, you know, creative-wise, everything was great. The whole team was great. You know, this Wendy Dio, I don't know if you're familiar with her, but it was like really, they took me sort of in like family. And it was, before that, I played with Ingrid's band. And, I mean, he's completely different character, in a way. He was chaotic. You know, I like him a lot as well, but he's like, of course, a completely different person. And at that point in his life, not much of the business stuff was chaotic, and many of his personal things were chaotic. So coming to the Dio band and leaving Ingrid's band and coming to the Dio band was like almost like coming to heaven, you know, like coming in from the rain if you're a wet dog or something. It was a really nice feeling. So I'm very sad it ended. It was like him joining Sabbath, I think. He basically put the band Dio on hold so he could join Sabbath again. In 92 or something like that. So that was a bit of a bummer, but, you know, music business was changing. Music tastes were changing, you know, like, yeah. Much around 91, 92. Everybody was a bit, you know, scrambling for an answer, how to make money still if you were this dinosaur, you know, I was turning into dinosaur also at that point. That was involved in this 80s, you know. So, I think he made that Lock Up the Wolves album, and I think he was expecting it to do better, and the label was expecting it to do better, but the winds were just blowing a different way, and then he put the band on hold after 1 year, and then he joined Sabbath, and then he put Dio back, and I think they had a couple of tough years with Dio after that. But, you know, then mid-90s, everything turned around a bit. I think by the end of the 90s, people realized that he was like still a legend, you know, somehow, and he got completely rehabilitated and, you know, somehow he got to be hip again, you know, somehow, like. I'm very happy for that.
When you played with Dio, you had an 18-year-old guitar player in Rowan Robertson, and, you know, obviously being 18 years old and being in Dio, he had to be pretty good. And what was it like playing with a guy in a band who was that young?
I think he always had young people in his band. I think when he got Vivian Campbell, he was not that old either. So I think it was, you know, based on habit even. I don't know how it was with Craig Goldie, if he was young or not. Sorry. But I think anyway, he was looking for somebody talented, and he was looking also for somebody, you know, with it like Randy Rhoads youth vibe in a way, you know, like. But I mean, there was no problem really. He was quite mature for his age, so there was not the problems you could imagine there would have been. Let's put it that way. there was a problem when we were supposed to go to a bar, you know, in the States, and he was like only 18 or 19. Of course, then he couldn't go to the bar. That was like you tend to forget until you go to this bar door and like, no, you can't come in. Like, can I see your ID? Like, yeah, he's only 19. Like, but other than that, there was not really any problems.
Now, you talked about making another album, and have you done any songwriting for it yet? And do you have any tracks, maybe any track names for any songs? And talk about the writing for the next and upcoming Stradivarius album.
I think the concept is not going to be so much different. It's the same four people writing. The new drummer, we asked him if he had some songs, and he didn't come up with any songs so far that I know. Like, I think it's not going to deviate a lot from the previous two albums in style, you know. Maybe it's a little bit more modern, but the songs are obviously different. And, you know, we've all developed in different ways, and maybe we are muting some other parts, you know, let's see, like, of the writing. But anyway, I mean, all the stuff is done, drums are done, most of the rhythm guitars, most of the vocals. So I think I would say we're about halfway through recording.
Now, you ended up, obviously, with Timo Tolkki exiting the band. You lost one of your founding members. And these last couple records, though, I've had some really, really good reviews on them. And maybe talk a bit about the response. What's the response been like for you guys for these last couple of records and with the different lineup here in the band?
I think it's been really good. And again, it's... this attitude is because in 2008 I had no idea really what to expect. It was like very, very chaotic. We had been in the same band. This Timo Tolkki was the guy actually who got me into the band, and then he left, or however you want to put it, but he was out of the band. And of course I didn't really have any idea what to expect, what the material would sound like, or how people would receive it, etc., etc., etc. But so far, it's been very good. And I think I don't really expect anything else from the new record either. But of course, you never know. I mean, just have to make it and see what happens. Name of the game.
Do you have any titles for the songs or for the new album yet?
Not yet. Nothing that we have agreed on. You know, of course, there's like a bunch of ideas being thrown around. But the songs themselves, we usually refer to them by the number, so we don't confuse them so much. They are like numbers or letters or better combinations, just so we can keep all the, nothing else, to just keep all the files apart. So nothing really confirmed yet. But usually you put the titles on the songs when you have lyrics completely done, and I think Matthias and Timo actually did the last of the lyrics and the last of the vocals. They didn't finish it. So I think there's like a couple of songs left to sing, and some songs for sure left to write lyrics for too, so I don't know. But of course a lot of the stuff is also finished with lyrics, but we don't have the titles yet. So, I don't know.
Going and recording a live album and a live DVD is obviously a big endeavor. You got to get everything set up and really got to make sure things are dialed in to do something like that. And why did you guys decide it was time to do this finally again?
It was because the drummer was quitting. So we figured, it's actually a little bit interesting story. We had tried to make some DVDs before, but never quite got there. So one idea was, of course, finally, you know, at least he gets to play on his DVD, you know, in a way. But it was also, you know, I mean, if you're a recording band, you need some product to put out for the label to make them happy, you know, in a way, too. Like, so it was, you know, why not, if we can do it, and why not put it there? But it was also like a little bit his farewell. As you can see from the cover and stuff, it was from the George Michael farewell tour. We did like a couple of weeks worth of dates. They were officially called like farewell dates. It was like a Finnish farewell tour. So we just decided to pick one. We picked one of those
group than I did. It was partly the label's idea too. Like, they were like, "Hey, why don't you?" You know, and of course, then you go like, "Well, okay, why not?"
Now, Jörg Michael obviously departed the band, and you guys played together for quite some time. In fact, Jörg Michael, this is one of the longest-standing gigs that he has had as a drummer. And give us some thoughts and memories about working with Jörg Michael and playing in the band with him for as long as you have had for all these years.
Well, he went through a steep learning curve for him in the beginning. He was the only Central European guy in the band, with a bunch of Scandinavian people, and I think it's like a little bit, you know, people are a little bit strange up here in Scandinavia. And I think for a German guy, it's a completely different sense of humor, and, you know, there's a lot of things are just way different culture-wise. You know, people don't speak, and, you know, there's all this other stuff. You know, why is everybody so quiet, you know, but... As far as favorite moments, I mean, there's so many things since we were in the band together for 15 years almost. There's of course a lot of funny things, but we played, I don't know, I mean, lots of drunken stories and lots of funny stories, and of course lots of, you know, sad stories sometimes too. I don't know, I can't pick a super good. There was one time we were in Brazil. This is, I think, fairly interesting story. It was like, we went to some nightclub, and the owners of the nightclub were like, "Oh man, Stradivarius are here, great!" You know, like, so they gave us this card. It was like a free booze card. And of course, this is completely wrong thing to give to Finnish band. It's like, everybody in the band got their own, it was like a little credit card with a magnetic strip. And you just went to the bartender and you said, like, "Put it on this card, you know, and unlimited amount of alcohol." So, of course, I forget who it was. Maybe it was me even, but somebody said, like, "Bring me this, make me this 100 caipirinhas." Because they had said, they had seen some, I think it's Bad News, this comedy series, where they order 100 lagers, you know, so we figured, okay, 100 caipirinhas. And, you know, they are paying to make these things yet. You had to grind this lime juice. So somebody was not very happy, I think, to make this 100 drinks for free. And of course, I don't assume that anybody tipped either. It was just like, just put this card. So anyway, we drank this booze, free booze. And then somebody from the club came up with this idea. "Hey, let's have this band, you know, Stradivarius, couldn't you play a few songs?" And we said, about this small keyboard, you know, like, but Jörg is like drunk somewhere. He was like in under a table somewhere. So I decided I should play drums. And when he heard me playing, that's when he woke up, like, "Oh no, I can't let this happen." So he woke up and he got behind the kit and he fell off the chair a few times. But, you know, finally he managed to go through a couple of songs. And the funniest part was that when we started playing, everybody left the place. We emptied the whole club out because it was so bad. Like, so I'm sure this bar, if it's still there, I doubt it's there, but I'm sure we were remembered not so fondly. Like, first they give us all this free booze and we ordered like way too much, and then we emptied the place for them. Like, yeah, good job, Stradivarius. But the funny thing was that Jörg actually fell from the chair, like, while playing, like, and everybody left. Everybody just took off. Like, it was like maybe 1,500 people before we started playing, and then by the time they played like 3 or 4 or 5 songs, maybe there was like, you know, 80 people left. Like, the party was over when Stradivarius took the stage. So bad and drunken. Like, so that's what, of course, there's a billion stories like this. I mean, we did so many gigs and in so many strange places. Somebody should write a book at some point. You know, it's like any band, there's a lot of good, funny stories.
And yeah, it's interesting because usually when you hear about a guy leaving a band, it's usually not on the best of terms, and there's always some sort of fighting going on in magazines and in interviews and stuff. But you know, it sounds like Jörg was a really great guy to work with, and you know, he's played at some great bands over the years, and he just sounds like he was a great guy to work with in this band. You know what I'm saying?
No, that's the thing. I mean, that's why I liked it. The situation was really very good way to get rid of a member, because he could do it completely on his own terms. He actually could pick the time for when it was really good for the band, like between the albums, and we had enough time to find somebody, and we actually exploited it in a way to make this farewell DVD. And he's also actually still working for the band as booking man. His company is still booking the band, selling the gigs. And actually, that's I think one of the reasons that he left, because he just didn't have the time anymore to do these long tours and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Because he has his company, like he's doing a lot of business with Japanese, you know, this like J bands, like booking them in Europe and stuff. So, but we still talk to him quite a lot, because of course he's doing the booking. Like, so it's no bad blood whatsoever. Everything is actually really nice. That's not the usual story when somebody's like getting fired or like I quit. Very nice, very civilized way to end being, you know, in the band.
Like. Well, Jens, it was great to talk to you. Great to speak to you yet again, having you on the show yet again, and again, love to do it again. So for my last question for you, Jens Johansson, do you have any last words to say to the fans that are going to be listening to this interview?
I don't know. If they've lasted this long, I have to salute them from not tuning out my meandering. I guess expect a new album next year. February, and hopefully people will like it. I don't know. Like, as I say, I still consider it very much an experiment. This band's couple of last records, and I think this next one is not going to be any different. You know, we are all writing, and we just basically see where it leads us. Everybody's allowed to write anything they want. Okay. So let's see.